Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. You can't get excited about this one. To coin a phrase from Mark Vandermeer, Ben, get the hotkey ready. Get out.
Get out.
Yeah. You can't get. If you can't get hyped for this, man, Colts and Texans, NRG Stadium.
Get
first,
out.
First place on like, get out. If you can't get hyped for this, it's Football Friday. How you doing, Seth C. Payne?
I'm good. I'm excited about this. We got to see Bobby Slowick yesterday, and Bobby I can't say mad at Bobby Slowick. I'm back in the firm position of rooting for him, hoping he gets this all figured out, reminding myself that he and the Kansas City Chiefs are basically in the same spot right now when it comes to scoring on offense. So if somebody – now, look, Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes have a – few more pelts on the wall.
Couple.
And still, yeah. I'm just trying to look. Hey, they got time to figure that out. Bobby Slowick was eminently accountable yesterday.
Yeah.
You watch a game last night and you see the Rams who, getting a couple of receivers back kind of makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Puka Nacua shows up. I'd forgotten he existed. And Cooper Kupp shows up. And lo and behold, there you have it. And just likewise, Nico Collins. Theoretically, could be back here very soon.
Well, not Sunday, but yeah, very soon.
No. But in terms of just the overall future,
Yep. No, there's a light at the end of the tunnel for sure. How did Puka Nacua last till the fifth round? He's so good. He's just so good, man. He gets open.
Trying to come up with a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, he was. That was an entertaining game last night. How we feeling about the loss to the Vikings retroactively now? The Vikings started out 5-0. They've lost two in a row. It was a hard-fought game last. I think the Rams are a better team than their record so far. Injuries have hit them kind of hard. They're 3-4 now. I don't know if they saved their season, but they're hanging around on the, you know, they're back on the fringe of the playoff picture again in the NFC. Do we feel, does it matter in the NFL? Do we do that transitive property thing where a game 4 weeks ago, how a team's playing to beat the tar out of us is playing?
I think partly there's a couple things. One is, all right, is Sam Darnold falling back to earth a little bit? And it was curious last night where Justin Jefferson kind of disappeared in the second half.
Yeah.
And on third downs. And part of that is credit the Rams defense for trying to take the most dangerous weapon out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, it's a Thursday night turnaround. So they lose two games in 5 days here. But it's a little bit of a, I try not to read too much into Thursday night outcomes. So I think that the Texans, you should be concerned about the Texans regardless of the margin of victory, but just by the way they perform, not just against the Vikings, but also against the Green Bay Packers. I mean, in some degrees against the New England Patriots, there's still some of those issues.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't – if anything, I feel like the Vikings showing their mortality is a little bit of the league catching up to a new QB combo, and then also just the fact that there's the domination in the NFL this year, the tier of teams at the top is getting thinner and thinner by the day. It looks like there's a whole lot of muck, and somebody's got to try to emerge in the second half of the season.
Yeah, records be damned. There's not a huge difference between the Vikings and the Rams, and the Vikings are the team that's traveling on a short week. You lose your left tackle in the first half of this game. And now poor David Quesenberry is out there on an island against Jared Verse and other edge rushers.
Man, what was the number I put in the stats?
Six pressures. He had 14 pass block snaps.
Yeah.
And he allowed six pressures. That's nearly a 50% pressure rate. And I've learned a lot about QB pressure rate in the last year or two, because that, like in Will Anderson's rookie year, That was the big but when he wasn't getting sacks at the beginning of his rookie. Uh-huh. And this isn't shade at Will Anderson. He was a rookie, a really good rookie. He was defensive rookie of the year. But early in the season, he had that one sack against Lamar Jackson in week one. And then he went 8 weeks without a sack. But we were beat over the head with, hey, but his pressure rate is third in the league. The Texans this season, Seth, I don't know if you know this, but according to one of the many QB pressure rate outlets out there, there's several different outlets. It's like the computer rankings in college football. There's several different computers out there that rank the teams. But the one that the NFL.com game preview videos uses has the Texans number 2 at 41.3%. David Quesenberry, 6 pressures in 14 pass blocks, is 42%, which tells me he's allowing a rate that's, if he were an offensive line himself, he would be allowing a near league leading pressure rate in those snaps. So there you go. Why do you have that look on your face?
I'm dry. Yeah, I guess I'm dry. I don't know. I'm having a hard time at 6:05 figuring out the correlation there.
The Texans defense pressure the quarterback at a 41% rate, and that's amazing. David Quesenberry allowed a 42% pressure rate last night, and thus that's really poor if you're on the offensive side of
things. Right.
Yeah, that's
The pressure rate stats are so bogus because there's like one website will have the Texans number 1, and then another website will have them like 12th in total pressures. It's the most garbage. It's about the pressure rate is about the most garbage stat as the expected catch percentage on Major League Baseball broadcasts.
Yeah.
I don't quite get or understand how the different services are grading them. But Quesenberry had a rough night of it.
He
looked a little bit. That's how like Blake Fisher looked when he went in his first go-round a couple weeks ago when Tunsil went out. He looked a lot better when he had opportunities.
He did. Quesenberry's in his 12th season, so that's... So the Vikings lose last night to the Rams, and I think the other thing is, too, if you were nervous about Cooper Kupp winding up on one of these teams in the AFC that needs a wide receiver, like the Steelers, I was following some Pittsburgh people last night on social media because there was a college game going on involving Pitt, and they were following Cooper Kupp. Like, Andrew Filippone, he's a host. He's the, I think, afternoon host, maybe mornings, on our sister station. He was following Cooper Kupp very closely up in Pittsburgh because they are the favorite to land him right now.
Yeah, but I wonder after that game, you look at the Rams and you have to wonder, okay, they get Puka Nacua back, they get Cooper Kupp back, and obviously they look like a different team. It makes sense that everybody kind of forgot about Puka Nacua, and he just pops up out of nowhere, and you're reminded, oh yeah, all right, this guy. And not to mention Jared Verse, with the Rams rookie, was going off in that game. They've done really well with their rookie defensive linemen. So I'm less inclined to think that they're sellers right now.
Yeah, I do too.
That's what I'm saying.
We might have been saved from seeing him down the road here as a Texans fan. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see about that. Speaking of the Texans, injury report yesterday. I guess the most concerning thing is that Henry Toa was not practicing yesterday. So he was practicing on Wednesday, not practicing on Thursday. And I don't know what to make of that because it's a concussion, so I have no clue what to... I know there's stages that they go through. I feel like we knew the stages chapter and verse last year because it was CJ who was in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
We knew like every little step you had to get. I just don't remember what they are now.
As you advance to each level of exertion, they see how you respond to afterwards, and sometimes people get... sometimes guys, they'll go out and they'll test and they'll do football activities, and then lo and behold, they have symptoms afterwards, so it might have been something like that.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he was out with like a minor sprained ankle or something, which would be good news. Maybe it was something completely unrelated. Oh, they would have to list
they
that
list
on the
concussion
report.
On the injury report. Yeah. So that's so he wasn't practicing. I mean, I'm not super concerned about it because the linebackers played pretty well last week. And maybe he's back today. Who knows? Azeez Al-Shaair and Jimmy Ward are going to miss the game on Sunday. So the Al-Shaair thing, I think, big picture is a concern. I guess that they're not putting him on injured reserve would indicate that this is something he should be back from soon.
Yeah.
But I hate seeing that. I mean, he's been one of their, when he's been out there, he's been one of their best defensive players this season so far.
You sure could use
him against an athletic quarterback on Sunday.
And like Devin White's an interesting, I'm really curious about how they're going to use Devin White this week. I think he shows up on the field. I think they look at him and they figure, okay, here's a veteran who's got experience. He's not going to know the scheme real well just yet. And obviously there are things that have led to him being... He hasn't played or delivered on the promise of his first couple years in the league. And that's why he found himself out of Tampa and on a one-year contract in Philly. But he has obvious explosive athletic ability, and I don't think D'Amico is going to be able to keep from using that somehow, even if it's in a limited blitz package type of way.
Back at practice, Robert Woods and Steven Sims. So maybe that impacts, I would guess that impacts who they use on punt returns, because those would be two guys they would use ahead of Desmond King. who was a circus again, returning punts against the Packers. I don't know what he was doing on that one. I think he might have lost it in the sun, the one that went straight over his head.
Yeah.
Desmond King makes me nervous back there. Very nervous back there.
I think this time of year, people were blaming the sun for Tank Dell's drop in the end zone, too.
No chance.
I'm not as inclined to do that. Is this an October thing? The sun's getting lower in the sky.
But were people really doing that? Were people
That's what somebody, I'd seen it a couple people on Sunday last Sunday.
Okay, no, the ball was the ball was 3 feet off the ground. What are they talking about?
It's autumn now, Sean. The sun is lower in the sky.
In
Green Bay, I don't know.
They only get
2 hours of daylight in the winter, I'm told. They're that close to the Arctic Circle.
Fair enough. I'll have to go back and watch it, I guess.
No, I don't think there's a chance.
No, I'm joking. I'm not going to go back and watch it. DeForest Buckner, Jonathan Taylor were a full go at practice. So those two will play on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So they get DeForest Buckner back and Jonathan Taylor. The good news is that they were both there in week one, so this is nothing new. This is nothing you haven't seen.
No, the big thing that you'd have to worry about in terms of differences from week one is that Josh Dobbs wasn't in. Josh Downs wasn't there in week one, and he'll be back. So that's, you know, for the weaknesses the Texans showed in letting guys get behind him in coverage, some of the errors and or just physical bludgeonings they had in the secondary, it's a tougher slate of wide receivers this week, especially with Josh Downs in the slot, because then, you know, the Texans, as I keep saying, I think they need to bring in another cornerback. They got to get somebody that can cover man. This is it's a lot tougher when you're starting to put Petrie in the slot against Josh Downs versus some other nondescript slot.
He leads him in catches, and he's played three games so far this year.
Yeah.
He's like the Nico Collins of catches on the Colts. You know what I mean?
It's a little bit of a roulette wheel, though. Like, almost literally a roulette wheel when Anthony Richardson is throwing the ball to any given receiver,
right?
Because it's a slightly less than 50% chance of winning.
Yeah,
he completes about 48% of his passes.
Yes,
which isn't that about your roulette odds, Sean?
Because they're not blanks, they're zeros. They're zeros. So yeah,
out of how many? How many numbers are there on a roulette?
38 on a roulette wheel. Okay. There's 38
so
total
the
numbers. Yeah.
So Anthony Richardson is a roulette wheel.
He is. Yeah. Yeah, and that's not what you want as a quarterback. You do
no,
not.
Yeah. You definitely, totally want to be above 50% completion rate.
You 100%. Yeah, you
that's
100%.
That's not just me being some Madden super, you know, or something.
No.
This year 2024.
Right. This isn't like me showing off with my QB pressure stats a few minutes ago. This is like legitimate. Like, you 100% want to be 50% or more as your quarterback. Completing passes.
I've got high standards, Sean. I've got high standards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's hear from Bobby Slowick in the next segment. Man, I like the accountability he took for this. The 3rd and 15 call, halftime adjustments is a bad second half football team right now. Bobby Slowick did a good job yesterday at that press conference. Now, hopefully, he does as good a job coordinating the offense, and we'll preview the game. Six pack we'll do in the next segment as well. Stay there.